Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I am your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Thanks to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening, and give us your comments on the program or questions that you might have. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministry, CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. I'll repeat that again at the end of the broadcast. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson in developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, we bow before you this morning and come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Lord, you know our condition as humans. We are needy. We thank you that you have supplied all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray for the listening audience today. I pray that you'll open our hearts and open our ears to the Word of God, and that you'll give us a strong desire to seek your face, to spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who wants to instruct and wants to impart to us the needed gifts that will assist us in bearing witness of your resurrected life. We thank you for it today, in Jesus' name. Now, we ended last week talking about the gifts of healing, and we noticed that it's plural. There are many healings, and I mentioned number of areas that healing takes place in. It can be in relationships, it can be in mentally, it can be emotionally, it can be physically, it can be spiritually. And so healing covers a great amount of territory, and so Paul writes about it in a plural sense, the gifts of healing. Today we're going to put our attention on 1 Corinthians 12:10 to another, the working of miracles. Now many believe that the days of miracles are over. It has always seemed strange to me that anyone could come to this conclusion. God is the author of miracles. He is supernatural, and we are natural. God is unlimited, and we are limited. Paul gave us an order for church life, recorded in 1 Corinthians 12:28. Listen to what Paul says in the 28th verse. He lists there a number of ministries we should expect the Lord's church. He begins with apostles, second, prophets, thirdly, teachers, then miracles, and then lastly, he says, and healing. The list goes on from there. We won't take time to go over the whole list, but I want you to notice that he mentions healing and miracles in this list of gifts in the Lord's church. This list goes on, as I said. It seems Paul understood miracles were to be a regular part of God's order in his church, just like the other gifts. Not everyone operates in the gift of miracles, but all believers have the gift available by virtue of the Holy Spirit living inside them. Some believe miracles stopped after the original apostles died. Those who hold to this view believe we have the finished canon of God's Word and have no need of any gifts. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is true that the revelation of God's word to mankind absolutely is complete. No further revelation is needed. The gift of miracles confirms the word of God by the Lord's holy presence existing in the believer. Jesus, Paul, and the disciples were used by the Spirit in the miraculous, confirming the word of God that they preached. In fact, in Mark 16:18, Jesus told us that miracles would be part of the ministry of the Great Commission. I want you to hear that again. Jesus told us that miracles would be part of the ministry of the Great Commission as he sent the disciples into all the world. The writer of Hebrews makes this statement, "How will we escape if we neglect so great salvation after it was at first spoken through the Lord and it was confirmed to us by those who heard," talking about the apostles, "God also testifying with them both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." Hebrews 2, 3 through 4. Now I want to give you a testimony at this point. I got a call to the mission field in 1986. The Lord instructed me to go to Pakistan, where we had a missionary that we were supporting, somebody who was a native Pakistanian. And the Lord said I was to go and to be with him. And I tell you, I didn't have any money to do that. I waited on God. I said, "Lord, how can I do this?" And the Lord, I knew it was the Lord. And then I needed $1,600 for the airline ticket back then. And I had $600 in the bank. And so I said, "Father, I need to have another $1,000 to know for certain I'm supposed to go." And through a miraculous situation, a couple that we had helped over the years before, and lost track of them, and they were a very poor couple, and they were in a car accident, and our local church took them on and helped them greatly. And years later, they called me and said they wanted to meet. And so we met in a restaurant. They told me their story, how they had been helped by the Lord financially, and that through a promise that the man had made to God about giving, they asked the question, "I wonder where Pastor Runyon is," and called up at this particular time. And there at that table wrote us a check for $1,000. I had my confirmation that I was to go. And then another brother I met with for lunch, that I respected highly, he said, "George, I feel you're not supposed to go alone. You're supposed to take somebody with you." And as soon as he said it, I knew who exactly he was talking about. I knew who that person was. But I also knew that I would be the one that had to believe for the money for him. And so the long and short of the story is all the money came in for the trip, miraculously. It was a beautiful thing. God supplied every resource. But here's the story. We went to Pakistan, and our first meeting, we were in a makeshift tent they set up outside, and we were sitting on a platform, and they were singing in Urdu, which is the language there in Pakistan. And a woman brought her baby draped over her arms, lifeless, and handed the baby to one of the pastors. And we came, I went up to the front and stood with this pastor, and he handed the baby to me. And so here I have this lifeless child in my arms. I don't know what the condition exactly of the child was, but it wasn't moving. It didn't seem to be breathing. It was lifeless. I held the child, and we prayed. And I thought, my, this would be wonderful if this child was raised up. And we prayed, believing God. And nothing happened at that moment. So we handed the child back to the mother and sat down on a couch they had on the platform. And the fellow I had brought with me, his name is Don, and he was sitting next to me, and he said, "Ask if I could hold the child." And so we did. They brought the child back up and gave the child to Don as we were sitting on that couch. And then we began to sing another worship song in Urdu. And halfway through the verse, all of a sudden the child opened his eyes and was full of life. And we were able to hand this child back to the mother, not knowing exactly what the Lord did, but the child came back to life. Like a resurrection, but it was miraculous. And so at the end of our 3 weeks with these folks, they threw a party for us to thank us for coming, and the husband and the wife were both there and brought something, a sacrifice in a sense, I think they had purchased some milk and brought it to this little get-together. And then they testified of what God had done for their child. And the husband said in Urdu, it was translated, that I know what my child was like, and I know what my child's like now. And they were just rejoicing in the Lord, what he had done. And then another time I went to Pakistan and in another town and did a crusade there. And there was a woman that came up to the platform at the end when we gave an invitation for people to come for prayer. And her sister was with her. And the woman pointed to her mouth, and you know, the sister said she can't speak in Urdu. She told me, I had an interpreter interpreting for me, said that her sister couldn't speak. And so I laid hands on the woman, and in Jesus' name rebuked that mute spirit. And then when we got done praying, asking Jesus to give her voice and an ability to speak, I said, say thank you, Jesus, just like that. And she said in perfect English, thank you, Jesus. And I said, praise the Lord, say praise the Lord. And she said, praise the Lord. She got all excited and ran to go up on the platform to give a testimony of what God had just done. And I just went on to the next person and began to pray for that person. And my interpreter was with me, and then it hit me what happened. And it was kind of a delayed reaction. And I said to Barquette, my interpreter, I said, she just spoke perfect English. He said, yeah. Anyway, that was miraculous. In that same meeting, I saw a demonized man that they were trying to pray over out in the middle of the audience. And then at the end of that evening, when it was time to go get something to eat, they always fed you about 11:30 at night. After the meeting, I came off the platform, and somebody came over to me and asked if I'd go to the corner of the tent and pray for somebody. And I looked over there, and I could see it was the man that was being prayed for during the service. And he had demonic problems, and I thought, what am I going to do? They prayed for him through the whole service, and nothing happened. And so I went with him because I was the guest speaker. So I went there and asked through my interpreter what's his problem. They said he had mental problems, that he was out of his head. And as we were standing there, and I'm praying, I'm saying, Father, what am I supposed to do? The Lord spoke to me clear as I'm speaking to you right now. He said, put your finger on his tongue and rebuke that in Jesus' name. I said, Lord, say what? You want me to put my finger in his mouth? You know, I said, I like this finger. And but I obeyed God and put my finger on his tip of his tongue, you know, pretty quick. It wasn't, you know, I didn't stay there and prolong. I just put my finger in his mouth and touched his tongue and said, in Jesus' name, be released. And he fell to the ground. And like a dead man, he wasn't moving. He was on the ground like that for about 5 minutes. And they're all talking in Urdu. I didn't know what was going on. And in a few moments, the man opened his eyes and put his hands up. And they picked him up. And I said, how's he doing? They said, I said, what's going on? They said, he's in his right mind. I said, well, praise the Lord. Let's go eat. Anyway, those are three experiences I had in Pakistan. It was awesome. And we see those kind of things here too, but not to the same level. See, there in a place like Pakistan, they're so poor. They don't have Medicare. They don't have a doctor they can run to like we do. And so there's a higher level of faith. And another reason is that they believe in the supernatural more readily than we do in our Western culture. Their life revolves around, in many ways, the supernatural. And so they're expecting God to do something when you preach the word. It's not like you have to force it. They have an expectation that God is going to meet with them, that supernatural is going to happen, that healing is going to take place, that miracles will take place. So that was our experience. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8 tells us. Do you believe that? Then he is still the miracle worker, and he has not removed this vital gift from his church. Rejoice, be courageous, and ask the Holy Spirit to use you in this realm of the Spirit's work. Yield to the Holy Spirit and expect the gift of miracles to become a part of your life and ministry to others. I want to just say this. It's not about somebody on a platform. It's not about that at all. It's about those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, having everything in them that the Spirit brings when he comes into our life, available as we seek the Lord. And the Lord can prompt us, and we can step out in faith sometimes and say, Lord, would you meet me? I know what your word says. Would you come and answer this prayer miraculously or by supernatural means, whatever the case might be? And so, Father, I yield to you, to your miracle power. Use me according to your will to help others come to know your miraculous power manifested in the resurrection life of your Son through your indwelling Holy Spirit. That's a good prayer to pray over this subject, beloved. I hope that's helpful to you. 1 Corinthians 12:10 says, to another the gift of prophecy is given. Prophecy is one of the greatest gifts the Holy Spirit gives to God's people. Paul encourages the Corinthians with the words, all may prophesy. Did you see, hear that? All may prophesy, 1 Corinthians 14:31. I believe that makes this a great gift. Is the fact that all can prophesy. That's what makes it such a great gift. It's given to anybody that wants to prophesy. Individuals learn and are exhorted through this gift. God's people are encouraged to go forward and enter into all the Lord has appointed for them. Many times the words are very specific and help in guiding a person in a particular direction. Prophecy is supernatural in its nature, because it comes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy is not the natural words of encouragement or teaching, which can be beneficial. The prophetic gift operates as the Holy Spirit stirs up a believer to speak. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak one word to a person in order to prime the pump, for speaking more. Other times it might be a vision that one sees. Most of the time it's by inspiration, and one does not know what will follow the initial word or words the Spirit has given. The Bible connects faith to the gift of prophecy. Prophesy, Paul says in Romans 12:6, according to the portion of faith you have. The gift of prophecy is a great way to become familiar with the Holy Spirit's leading and directing. The gift can operate while praying for another, while sharing the gospel, or just encouraging someone in the natural. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit releases a supernatural word of learning and encouragement. The gift of prophecy can be helpful in leading to the operation of other gifts of the Spirit, and being led, learning how to be led by the Spirit. I've had the prophetic words spoken over my life for the last 47 years. Many of these words were very accurate in detail they contained. This has been helpful for me to continue in the Lord's direction for my life. At times, these words called me to specific areas of ministry. The Lord had already placed the call in my heart, but others were used to confirm his leading. Going on, I've been honored to be used by the Holy Spirit to provide the same ministry to others. Now ask the Holy Spirit to heighten your sensitivity to his presence and to begin to use you in an ever-increasing way in the gift of prophecy. You will be astonished how often you begin to share under the anointing of the Spirit of God. How blessed people will be as the Lord uses you to as an instrument of encouragement and learning. The Bible says, all may prophesy, that all may learn, that all may be edified. And again, in the same passages in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul speaks of prophecy as a means of edification, exhortation, and comfort. and it's available to all of us. Let me just give you one other example here, a testimony out of my life, if you would. I was raised in a Presbyterian church, and so I had a call of God on my life from an early age. When I was in high school in ninth grade, God called me to the ministry, and I thought I was going to be a Presbyterian minister. And in 1964, after I graduated, I desired to be baptized by immersion, and I was in a church on College Avenue called College Covenant Church at the time. And then I came into an experience in the Holy Spirit through a little church on University Avenue. And I went up, it was upstairs in the Plumbers Contractors Hall, just a storefront church that had connection to churches all over the country. The main headquarters was kind of in Waco, Texas. Anyway, I didn't really know too much about the Holy Spirit, and I yielded to an invitation to go forward, and six men came and laid hands on me, and I felt the power of God go through me from the crown of my head to the toes of my feet. I mean, I felt a surge. It was like electricity, but it didn't hurt. It was just awesome feeling. And I heard men around me speaking in tongues. And I had heard that once before in another meeting. But it was new to me, strange to me. They were encouraging me to speak in tongues. And I didn't right that moment, but I went home and got in my bedroom on my knees and began to look at the scriptures and cried out to God and said, God, would you give me this gift as well? And the Lord showed me a sin I had committed that day, and I confessed it, and immediately I felt right in the region of my stomach a dam break. Something just broke, and all of a sudden I began to speak in a different language that I had never spoken in before. And I learned that I had was given that ability to speak in tongues, and then in ministry life, in a church service, I'd get a word for somebody, but usually it came out of speaking in tongues. I'd then have an interpretation that I read the Bible, and Paul emphasized prophecy, and so I said, Lord, I want the gift of prophecy. And so I asked for that gift, and I began to prophesy edification, exhortation, and comfort, and sometimes directional stuff. But that's how I entered into the gift of prophecy, and that's been with me all my life. Or not all my life, but from the time I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But I really desired prophecy, and I had faith to believe God for it, and God has used it. And I'm saying that just to simply say that that's how this gift is available even today. And it can get, like any of the gifts, can get misused and abused if we get in the flesh. It's a work and operation of the Spirit. So I hope this is helpful. Ask the Holy Spirit to heighten your sensitivity to His presence and to begin to use you in an ever-increasing way in this gift. A prophecy. You will be astonished how often you begin to share under the anointing of the Spirit of God. How blessed people will be as the Lord uses you as an instrument of encouragement and learning. All may prophesy, that all may learn, that all may be edified. Well, that's about as much time as we have for today. We'll pick this up next week and talk about the gift of discernment of spirit. And I hope this has been helpful and edifying and instructive. Please drop me a line and let me know. We just appreciate you being here, and thank you for joining us again today. If you'd like a copy of any one of my books, I have five. I have one at the publisher right now. It's not ready for release yet, but it's coming. But if you're interested in any books, go to our website, www.sdccm.org/shop, and you'll see the books that are there that you can order. Order from there. Your contribution helps us with the broadcast time. And please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us again at CCM P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California 92195. Again, this is Pastor George Runyon saying thank you for being with us today. We love you in the Lord, and we're here because God has instructed us to teach His Word. So remember, as you go, walk with the King each day of your life. God bless you.